Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. This strange gospel lesson for today is the last piece in the book of Luke. Luke hopes that as we read it, we remember all the stories about Jesus. And he says in this last little address to his disciples, "These are the words that I spoke while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled, must be finished." And he tells them again what it is that he had told them. And he leads them out as far as Bethany, and suddenly he disappears. What we often don't realize is that Luke intends that we not stop reading. The 24th chapter of Luke gives way to the second part, because Luke expects that you will finish his first volume and start reading his second volume. Luke and Acts are meant to be read together. And so Jesus is ascended up into heaven, and then you are expected to read from Acts. Remember all the stuff I wrote in the first book, Theophilus, which is lover of God? I told you all of the things would happen. And I told you that the Holy Spirit would be given to you, and in just a little while, it will. You will be clothed with power. And so the ascension isn't an ending so much as it is a kind of beginning. In the first service, I played tag with the kids. And they found out that as fat as I am, I'm pretty darn fast. We played tag because that's what God is up to in this text. Jesus points out to all of the disciples, look, here's all the things that have happened. Here's all the ways that God has been present with you. And now I want you to see that I am bodily ascending up into heaven. I will not be here. Tag, you're it, Jesus says. And not only that, and I had forgotten about that to one of the kids. I said, okay, we're going to play tag. And so you run after each other and you tag the person, and somebody said, no tag backs, which is what Jesus says. Tag, you're it. You will be clothed with power from on high, and now I expect you to do all of the things that I have been doing, and no tag backs. Well, I understand the sentiment of, I'm just going to turn it all over to God. I understand that sometimes, except Jesus has already said, no tag backs. I gave it to you. Don't give it back to me, because I gave it to you, and I gave you everything you need to do your ministry. And so the ascension of Jesus is the beginning of the work of the church in the world and of God's people in the world. Maybe that helps us to have a little better vision of what this grand, strange, weird mystery of the ascension is really all about in Luke. It is one of the ways that Luke says to me, not only is Jesus gone, he's really gone. And now the ministry belongs to you. Well, you all know how it begins. We'll read this in a couple of weeks, next week actually, where the Spirit will come and will be placed upon the disciples, and then the great tag game begins. The disciples first receive that power from on high. And Peter preaches this incredible story, this wonderful sermon, and suddenly they get enthusiastic about the gospel and God's love, and they begin to tag others, and they begin to tag others. And the next thing you know, 2,000 years later, the game is still on. It's amazing to watch is how the disciples take what Jesus did and see in their religious life and in the life of their community, they see all of that with new eyes. They see it afresh. And they begin to make it their own. Sometimes for the better, sometimes not so much. But over the course of the history of that giant tag game, the church begins to figure out who it is and who we are. I was reminded of this again this weekend. You know, one of the problems is that this, not a problem, but maybe one of the opportunities is that this game has been going on for a long time. And over the course of time, that game starts to get, the work starts to get a little stale, a little tiresome, a little, some people think, irrelevant. But this weekend, I got to see what happens. It reminded me so much of this text in Acts where God has tagged them to begin. I went to the interns' retreat. So we met for the first time, the group of us who are taking interns from Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary, and we met our interns, and most of them are what are called pipeliners. So it's a great term. We kept using the word terminal intern, which means the last year of seminary. They said, please don't use terminal intern. It sounds kind of morbid. But they're pipeliners, which mean that they went through college and pretty quickly went to seminary thereafter. None of them were second career people. And when they all began to filter into the room, I couldn't help but think to myself, was I ever that young? I was not the oldest pastor there. Gary is 6 months older than I am. But what was fun to see was how they see with fresh and new eyes. Not with, you know, the kind of tired look that so many of us end up with, even not just pastors, but all of you who have been doing church for so long, so into our patterns and our ways of doing things. And for them, it was sort of like, I have been clothed with power from on high, and I'm going to preach the gospel. Whereas for some of us, it's sort of like, take your power. I have to go preach the gospel. But these fresh eyes reminded me so much of that first day when the apostles realized, holy smokes, it's up to us. What will we do? What can we do? How excited can we be about the work that we're about to do? And it was fun to hear them talk about the church, and it was fun to hear them be excited about the possibility of ministry and preaching and work. And then it was also fun to hear them occasionally blame my generation for everything. Which I rest in my comfort and say, you know, 30 years from now, it will all be your fault. Maybe part of what Jesus does in this text in Luke is call us to see with those new, fresh eyes. Not to change everything, not to make wholesale renovations, which is what that's what every seminarian thinks you're supposed to do. You just, you know, you clean house and you start all over again. But it was so funny. These are wise interns. As we got together for worship that night, it's always fun going to a seminarian-led worship because you never know what you're going to get. And we sat down, and you know what they passed out? Holden Evening Prayer. I thought, oh, there's hope. But what if we, like those first disciples, could try to see with new eyes what God is doing in the world? Because that's what Jesus calls the disciples to do. He says, do you remember all of the things that I said and all the things that I did? This is now for you to do with new eyes and in your own way. Begin to live out that proclamation of hope and love for the sake of God who is already in the world. And that's the key. One of the problems is that at some point in our life as the apostles of Christ, we began to think that we were bringing God to people, which made us think too seriously about ourselves. What's exciting about this text is it reminds us that God is already in the world and doing God's work. And the tricky part for us is to see with new eyes what God is already doing and then join God in the doing of it. And so Jesus raises up from his earthly place and says, tag, you're it. And now we figure out how we will fulfill God's promises in the world. That justice and peace and love might be seen anew in every generation and in every place as the work of God already in the world with God's people. So tag, you're it. Amen.